We are now joined by our dear friend, Dr. Matt Hillman, Northfield Superintendent of Schools. Good morning, Dr.
Good
Hillman.
Morning,
wait, you know what? Before I do anything, I should probably turn on your microphone. You're on now.
Good morning, Rich. Good morning, Ryan. Great to see you all this morning.
We're a little distracted this morning because this is our first endeavor with social media video, live video.
I should have definitely taken a few more minutes to figure out how to set this up.
Well, I'm happy to be the test case, of course, number one. And number two, it's going to be very apparent that I have a face for radio. And of course, the Siri didn't get that. So, always happy to help advance the cause of the KYMN Continuous Improvement Plan.
And that's exactly what it is, Matt. We're just following your lead and the lead of the Northfield School District. Well, there was a school district a board meeting last night, but I don't know if you want to start off with that, or did you just want to focus maybe on the chair of the school board?
Yeah, you got a couple of things that we recognized last night. So we've talked about this before, but just a couple weeks ago at the Minnesota School Boards Association Leadership Conference, our board chair, Claudia Gonzalez-George, was recognized with the Rising Star Award. So MSBA gives this award to a board member who, in their first term, has made a significant difference for their school board and community. And of course, Claudia Gonzalez-George represents that to a T. Mm-hmm. This is one award throughout the entire state. And so it's an auspicious honor, and it's one of MSBA's crowning achievements. They really appreciate honoring the Rising Star because, you know, fewer people are willing to go into public service.
Yep.
And they want to really recognize those people who are leaning in. And Claudia is an exceptional leader,
Indeed. You
know, reelected by the community this past November, reelected by her peers as the board chair just at the last meeting. So we want to congratulate Claudia Gonzalez-George on formally receiving the Rising Star Award.
That's congratulations to Claudia. She was on doing good things for kids with you yesterday, too, and talked a little bit about it. And when we recorded that, she showed me the award. That's a substantial
It's a piece of hardware,
yeah,
yes, for
it's
sure.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and well-deserved, as
yeah,
we all know. So.
Absolutely.
We also had another award that I want to share. You know, Jody Saxton West, Northfield High School biology teacher, speech coach, just a Northfield treasure in every imaginable way, was honored last week by the Region 1AA Committee with their Fine Arts Distinguished Service Award for her contributions to fine arts programming in the southeast Minnesota. And you know, Jody is just someone who is all in for kids and for Northfield, and I was so pleased to see her receive that award. My understanding is she was nominated and presented the award by retired Northfield High School Activities Director Tom Groutman. So congratulations to Jody. If you know Jody, she has one speed, and it's go, and it's go fast. And so we're so proud of the work that Jody has done. You know, thousands of kids in this school district have had a very positive impact in some way by connecting with Jody Saxton West. So proud of her work and her contributions to the community and to the region. And for my only question is, how did they not give her this award before? But, you know, that happens sometimes. So thrilled for Jody.
You know, I got to meet her when she came in last fall. She was doing some work for the Reimagine referendum thing. And that's exactly my impression of her. She has one speed. And she's also in charge, so you better be able to keep up with her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure.
And by the way, gentlemen, I finally got the live feed going.
Oh, so. Okay. Hello out there.
There you go. Good morning,
Facebook
all.
Land. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah. So those were just a couple of announcements from last night that wanted to share.
And then you had the board meeting itself. And before we get into the meat of what you guys talked about, which was the budget, you had some conversation about your Indigenous programming as well.
Sybil Betzinger, who is our cultural liaison specifically for our Indigenous population, and Hope Langcenter, Director of Instructional Services, they provided an update on the Indigenous programming. The state program is called the American Indian Education Program.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Indigenous programming here in Northfield, but they provided an excellent report on the different kinds of things that they are doing to support our Indigenous families and students. We have a parent committee that we have a handful of parents that attend. We have around 52 indigenous students in the Northfield School District, representing around 16 Minnesota tribes. And so a real diversity of culture just within that that demographic of our indigenous families in Northfield. And we continue to work on making sure they have access to academic supports, that they have access to support that affirms their cultural identity and their history. We know that it's important for our indigenous students to feel that connection and to feel that validation. We talk about our data, our local data, our local indigenous students' performance on MCA tests far out exceeds the state, but still there's a gap between the performance of our indigenous students and our white students, so we're continuing to work on that. And talking about the kinds of things that we're doing in the future, especially with professional development for teachers and for staff. So last year we had some professional development that we had in February regarding indigenous culture. It was really, really well done, very well responded to by our staff. And the coming this February, we have Anton Troyer, who's a professor at Bemidji State University and an author, and actually recently gave a book talk at Content Books.
Okay.
Really well known across the state and becoming more well known across the nation, really about acknowledging the past difficulties and atrocities that have faced our indigenous friends and neighbors, but also looking forward with a sense of optimism and hope. And so we'll have Dr. Troyer coming in on February 17th to work with our staff. So really a good update. Sybil Betzinger is just doing an excellent job supporting our indigenous families and community, and we want to make sure the community knows that the work that's being done there.
Can I ask you, I don't know the answer to the question. I might be putting you on the spot here. You know, we've got the indigenous program. There's also a council looks at how African American students are doing it. Is there funding from the state for these programs, or is this something that the district has sort of taken upon itself to focus on?
So there is a small amount of funding for the American Indian Education Program, the Indigenous Program. It has increased, you know, in the last years. We get around probably $50,000 a year for that. We don't get any specific funding for our Hispanic Parent Advisory Council or for our Black Parent Advisory Council. So those two things are things that we are doing to try to elevate the voice of those families and making sure that their input is heard about their students' experience and what we can do to continue to serve them as well as we possibly can.
Okay. All right. So the last time you were here, Matt, we talked about the fact that you were going to get a report from Val Murdestorf, the director of finances, and that you were anticipating a budget report that was going to probably result in some conversation about what you call budget prioritization.
Correct.
And that's what happened last night, correct?
It is, and as you also reflect, you know that we've been talking about this for much longer than, you know, the past time that we met. You know that we have a financial cycle that where we report our budget progress multiple times a year. You've heard about that on this show many, many times. You've also heard about the structural issues that we see long-term with school funding in Minnesota and the fact that we have a funding system that is really based on enrollment, and that in Northfield we are experiencing declining enrollment like much of the country and quite a bit of the state of Minnesota as well.
Indeed.
And so these things come together, and we act in a financially responsible way. So I was really appreciative of Logan's report about our audit from December. And that audit really should give people the confidence and the faith in the financial systems and the fiscal management tools that the Northfield School District uses. So we act in a responsible way. And from time to time, thankfully not very often, you know, over the last 20 years here compared to so many other districts, we have to make reductions in order to be able to keep that quality fiscal management going. These are very difficult decisions, but they're necessary for the long-term health of the system. We're not only serving the students and families that we have here today, but we're also charged with serving the families and the students that we have, you know, coming down the road. And so when we look at a number of factors, I'm not going to bury the lead, you know, we are recommending that the district look at around a $6 million reduction for next school year. Now, as we have said, we are in strong financial condition. We have almost $8 million in our unassigned fund balance. So we can respond thoughtfully we could potentially have looked at doing these reductions over a period of a few years. But the issue is that that doesn't give us the maximum long-term return on those reductions to stabilize the budget moving forward. So at this point, the recommendation is looking at a $6 million reduction for next year. We are seeking, as we've asked before, we are seeking the public's help. We do a transparent and inclusive process that will take the next several months. So we need all community members who are interested to join one of our budget reduction teams. If you go to our school website, we have a banner on the front page that shows the link to be able to sign up for one of those committees. And you can also nominate someone else that we would then reach out to include. Now, these budget meetings start on February 11th, so we've been trying to recruit people for the last few weeks. We've got about we've got 12 people on the list right now.
Okay.
We're going to need more, quite a few more. So please, if you have an interest or don't have an interest but feel a sense of civic responsibility, there's going to be three meetings officially, the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th of February. So we don't bury the lead. That's what we're looking at. We're not going to sugarcoat it. This is difficult. This is very challenging, but we do the hard things and we lean in and do things before they become a crisis here in Northfield. So yeah. There's a number of things that contribute to this. The first of all, when we look at the revenue, this is a real critical piece because we're still, we're grateful to what the 2023 legislature did. They did a lot of good things, right? What we're anticipating for increased pupil funding next year is 2.4% on the basic formula. But when you have declining enrollment, and enrollment is based on, or is responsible for about 70% of your revenue, that erodes what you get on the formula. And so between that, we do have some inflationary increase from the bond reform. We are anticipating some special education increases from the state. We're right now assuming that federal funding is going to be held flat. We know there's a lot of discussion at the federal level, but we're seeing it held flat.
Yep.
And we do a projection based upon what we currently have, right, and move that forward, and then the anticipated revenue. Now, the challenge with all of what I just mentioned is that when we take into account the declining enrollment, and then I'll talk about expenditures in a minute, we talk about the required expenditures, the unfunded and underfunded mm-hmm. mandates that we have from the state legislature. Even though we're projecting a 2.4% basic pupil funding increase, some increase in special education funding, some referendum inflationary increase, because of that specter of declining enrollment and those unfunded or underfunded mandates, we're only anticipating 0.8% in new revenue next year. And so that is a challenge when you're only receiving 0.8% mm-hmm. In revenue. And then when we think about expenditures, again, we mentioned very well-intended programming that was passed by the legislature. Not agreeing or disagreeing with the spirit of those programs, but just in 24-25 alone, that's over we anticipate it's about over $1 million in required expenditures for which there wasn't specific funding.
Yeah.
Then we all know that labor is a tough market right now. Yes. And so, we are still trying to make sure that we balance giving employees a competitive wage while being able to keep as many people employed to do good things for kids as long as we can. We have a number of other financial difficulty pieces that are just coming, or increased costs, I should say, that are coming together. By way of example, the Teachers Retirement Association, that is the pension. And so that pension, the employer share and the employee share has been increasing by 0.25% for several years now, but this coming year, it's going to go up by 0.75%. We are also seeing a new payroll tax that will come into play in January of 2026. That's a paid mm-hmm. family medical leave. Mm-hmm. While we don't know exactly yet what that payroll tax is going to be, the latest data shows that it will be about a 0.44% employment payroll responsibility. Now, those two things are percentage-based. Mm-hmm. So as your salaries increase, your expenditure increases. So this mm-hmm. is a piece that when you see salaries increase, we have to also pay more for a TRA and a paid family medical leave. Now, again, great programs, and we're just saying how it impacts the expenditure portion of our budget. Like everyone else, we're seeing insurance go up across the board, right? So we're seeing anticipating a 5% in health insurance, 6% increase in other post-employment benefits. We have a staff that is veteran that is getting ready to retire, and so some of that are the severance payments that some of our staff are still eligible for. we're still seeing significant pressure from inflation. So a 26% increase in our property liability insurance in 1 year. And of course, that's a nationwide thing, really resulting, the insurance industry is in real trouble, resulting from a lot of the natural catastrophes that we've seen. So there's all, we have a new summer unemployment program that was brought forward by the state. Again, well-intended. They had had some one-time money the last couple of years to cover that. Not anymore. And so just this past year, that was $217,000. So what you see is you see that our revenue isn't increasing nearly at the rate as what our expenditures are.
Right. Yeah.
And so, as you know, we have had a very inclusive, very transparent budget process. You've, how many times on this show have you heard us be acclaimed for the way that we have managed our finances?
Absolutely.
This is a very difficult set of reductions that are coming up, but they're necessary for the long-term health. And I know that Northfielders can rally. We'll do what we have to do. We'll do what is hard so that we can cement a solid and positive future for our school district.
Was there any discussion from the board after this report, or was it just a report and you take it back now and digest it and come back and talk about it next time?
So there was a, excuse me, as you know, the discussion is ongoing. So part of this discussion was when we had the audit, you know, this is not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
So I think that when we look at the number is sobering, right, for sure. I think that that was part of what the reaction was. That's a sobering number, to be sure.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think there's a little bit of some reflection upon it. There's some really good question about, okay, let's, when we look at that reduction for next year, what does that help us look like, you know, in the years out? Mm-hmm. And so that was an important part of the discussion and looking at how do we try to do the best that we can, you know, to make a one, you know, this reduction that gives us several years before we have to.
Right.
Now, the other part of it is that the enrollment, and this is part of the discussion as well, this is the really insidious part of declining enrollment, is that it's right now into the future, it's a year-over-year small incremental decline. This is not people packing up, you know, and leaving town. That, you know, sometimes when you talk about declining enrollment, people think about that. As you know, we have authorized our own two charter schools for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
That's not having, in fact, we're seeing less of a share of those charter schools students coming from Northfield. You know, we have a wonderful private school, you know, here in Northfield, but that, even that school has seen a reduction, a substantial reduction in students over the last 10 years. In open enrollment, Northfield continues to be a winner in that that we bring in more students from other districts than leave. This is, if you agree and you say that we want public school choice, which Northfield has always done it, we can't be complaining when people choose something else, but we bring in more students than go out. This is about resident births. And over the last 6 years, we've seen a 12% decline in Rice County births. That's that's right here.
That's a huge
if we think
number.
About this being a destination district, which we all know it is. We know people want to be here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete Mergens, a local realtor, Chamber of Commerce board member, gives me a report every couple of months about the housing inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 28 homes total available for sale, single family homes, you know, across the 178 square mile school district. So those are some of the parts. And we haven't even started talking about the state yet.
Yeah.
So while the state really did make some improvements, you know, in the last legislative session, there's two pieces of data I want people to know. One is that the per pupil formula, that's the amount of money that we get for each student, even with the improvements that they made in the last session, it doesn't come close to making up for 20 years of chronic underfunding.
Mm-hmm.
So to match the buying power that the formula had in 2003, the legislature would have to increase the per pupil formula by $1,364 just to get the same buying power had in 2003. That would equate to $5.6 million more dollars in revenue.
Okay.
Coincidently, which is about the amount that we're looking at reducing.
Right.
The other part is special education costs continue to increase.
Yeah.
So we pay more than $4 million from our general fund to support legally required, and I continue to argue morally imperative, services for students with disabilities that is not reimbursed.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these factors coming together, the important piece is we know what those factors are, and we're making the recommendation, we're responding to this circumstance rather than reacting. So we have some difficulty ahead, but we are a community that even with all of this still offers so much more to our students than many other communities do. Mm-hmm. And this is a correction based upon population demographics.
You know, I got to say, I give Northfield, yourself and Northfield Schools as a whole, a lot of credit, because even though these are difficult decisions to make, you're being proactive. Whereas I feel like sometimes people can get a little reactive in these situations. You know, they wait until the problem occurs and then they're like, oh, now we got to cut a bunch of money because we don't have it. Where it's like, hey, you know what? We know that we need to cut some money now to preserve the longevity of our district and the quality, which is, it's never a fun decision to make, but you're making it. And that's what matters.
Yeah, I thank you. It's not a simple piece. I mean, we all live here, for the reason of, It's a wonderful community. It's a place that supports each other, and we all value education. So these kinds of reductions are difficult.
Yep.
But again, they're necessary, and
they are.
We've got the money. We could cover the entire deficit, right? But that's not responsible. And we can say, we could cover a little bit, this year, and a little bit, and maybe that's some of the things that we would choose to do. That's the importance of having a fund balance.
Mm-hmm.
We're also facing the fact, though, that if anyone is a betting person in this room, which I am not, would anyone want to bet that the legislature gets a budget done before the end of the statutory dismissal of session?
No.
Yeah, probably would not.
You wouldn't bet that. And so there's a real chance, I think a lot of experts are saying, and I'm very hopeful, right? I'm hopeful that, there's been some court cases that are starting to resolve some of these disagreements at the Capitol. Hopefully they get back. They work together, we get a budget. But if we don't, there's not a budget by June 30th, then there's a state shutdown.
Yeah,
right.
And which means we don't get our money from the state. And so having a fund balance like we do, a 14% goal, we have just under $8 million in the bank projected at the end of this year, that would allow us to handle the loss of those metered payments without having to go out and borrow money. There's so many school districts who have to go out and borrow money just to be able to pay their bills, right? So these are all of the different pressures that come together and force you to act in a, not force, but prompt you to act in a responsible way.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have a dozen more questions, but we have to wrap it up right now. Dr. Hillman, we always appreciate your time. And it's sometimes we get to have some fun on it, but sometimes these really serious conversations that we just have to have.
And my last call to action is please take a look at our website, and if you can volunteer 6 or 8 hours over the next month to help us really try to hone in on what are those areas of reductions. We'd appreciate it. Sure. Northfieldschools.org, and you'll see the banner right on the top of the webpage.